After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Tonight, we'll be joined once again by friend of the show, Heather Robinson, who recently joined us to talk about her article in the New York Post on veterans. You guys definitely want to go to the archives on AmericaOutLoud.com and check that out, and check out her article on the New York Post. We like to talk to her about New York City, and tonight we're going to be talking to her about some women in politics. We've got a busy show tonight, so let's get into it. We've seen some recent shakeups in the news with Chris Cuomo recently being fired from CNN, and now Chris Wallace announced he was leaving Fox. And the next thing we know, he is going to be on CNN himself. He's going to be on CNN's new streaming app called CNN Plus, Monday through Friday. So people who are Chris Wallace fans will now get him 5 days a week. Fake news, CNN's new streaming network is set to launch early 2022. So he won't be taking much time off. I think Chris Wallace will fit right in at CNN. He is not very liked at Fox or by the viewers of Fox News. I don't think he does much for the channel because he is so disliked. It's hard to imagine a lot of their normal people who watch the programming watch Chris Wallace's show. So I don't think it will affect Fox News that much. Him going on to CNN is one thing, but going on to CNN streaming program, I don't see him getting a whole lot of viewers because I don't think that app will be successful. But that's just me. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
Oh, Andrew, I am doing well. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Never a dull moment here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. As you said, I'm also glad to have on with us, friend of the show, journalist Heather Robinson, to help us dissect the news that's taken place. Now, a couple of things that you mentioned, Chris Wallace and Chris Christie's book, which has, by all accounts, failed miserably. Let's just be honest. Chris Christie will never be president. He was a good governor, in my opinion, in New Jersey, after which he tried to run for the presidency, and he failed, did not work out. I started calling him the bloviator. I think that he's a kind of politician that, in my opinion, you really can't trust because he straddles the fence. And with him, it's a big straddle. When he's fighting for the city, I think he's doing a good job. I like the fact that he holds no prisoners. He tells it like it is. And if you don't like it, so what? What I don't like about him is that he's a bit of a treacherous kind of guy. He will tell President Trump, or he told President Trump one thing. And then when President Trump did it, he goes, well, why did he do it that way? He should have done it that way. It's like, because you were his trusted advisor and he was following your lead. What don't you get? What don't you understand? And now he comes out with the book saying that Trump knew that he should have wore the mask and everyone knew that Trump was this. And then once he realized that the book wasn't going to sell, he decided to come out and say, I know that President Trump gave me the virus. Really? I mean, and he says these things and he does it because he knows that Trump will come out and give him a thoroughly good lashing. And then the two of them will be friends again. But here's my advice to President Trump. Don't trust Chris Christie. He likes the limelight. He wants everyone to know that he has your ear. But as far as being a true friend, he is not. Now, it's one thing to be a friend and to just say, look, I'm just going to be brutally honest with you. These are the things you should do, and this is what you shouldn't do. But Chris Christie goes a little farther than that. He says those things, but then he comes around and he'll say something else behind your back. That's not being a friend. So Chris Christie, buddy, I'm sorry. You know, I like you, but you're just not going to cut it. So, you know, go away, fade away. Your book didn't, you know, you didn't sell a lot of copies on your books. So be it. Now, Chris Wallace. I'd love to talk about Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace, as we've learned recently, has decided to end his working relationship with Fox News, effective immediately. Well, Chris, it couldn't happen soon enough. Because in my humble opinion, you have always been a moderate liberal, if not a diehard liberal. I mean, you want to showcase yourself as being a conservative or showcase yourself as being, well, I'm in the middle, or you don't know who I am. You know, just like all the genders. You don't know. I could be this. I could be that. It's anyone's guess. Well, Chris, we're on to you, buddy. We all see it. You are a liberal. Okay, you're not as liberal as most liberals are, but you're a liberal. Just accept it. It's okay. Come out of the closet, Chris. It's okay. We're not going to attack you. But if you keep trying to say that you're a conservative, we're going to attack you. Because if you look at every presidential debate that he was over, he was partial. When Barack Obama was there, he tipped around Obama because he didn't want to say this, because he didn't want to hurt the first Black president's feelings, and he didn't want to do this. So he treated Obama as if though he was just like this new thing that you found, and you've got to handle it so delicate. No, he was just a Black man running to be the president. What's the big deal? Say what you got to say. Ask him the tough questions. And if he can't answer it, hey. But trying to walk on eggshells around him and not call him out? And then when you do, you're going to backtrack and go, well, you know, I didn't mean it that way. Whereas when President Trump was running, you did everything in your power to destroy his candidacy. You did everything in your power to sway public opinion. And the night, I never will forget, 2016, when they were counting the votes, and you didn't know, Chris, if he was going to win or lose, and you danced around it. Oh, well, you know, he possibly is going to lose tonight. And then, oh, well, no, he's going to win. Oh, well, he's a cat. You just kept dancing and prancing and mancing and prancing. And then when you found out that he won, well, I told you that he was going to win. No, you did not. Give me a break, man. We're on to you. Who believed you? You are a coward. You are hypocritical. And you deserve to be on fake news CNN because they are the purveyors of fake news. And you are a purveyor. So welcome to the club, buddy. You got it right this time. You deserve to be on CNN in their new streaming outfit. What do they think? You're going to bring credibility to it? So all the liberals who used to watch Fox are going to now gravitate toward the streaming of CNN? And who else is going to be there streaming with you? Donna Brazile? I mean, it fits perfectly. So when I heard the news, Andrew and Heather, I wanted to dance a jig. I was like, hooray, finally he has come out of the closet and he's now admitting it. Now he'll say, no, you don't know if I'm conservative or liberal or moderate. Chris, we all know, is written on your forehead. Please. And my advice to President Trump, if you decide to run for the president again, please, please, please don't go running to him and giving him an interview thinking you're going to help him out. Because he has the daggers in his hand and he's not going to stab you in the back. He is going to stab you in the chest, in the front, so that you will know it and you will see it. And you will see that it is him and no one else. So Chris, job well done. Maybe it was a job that you were applying for years and you finally got accepted. Good riddance. And trust me, I will not be watching you on the new streaming of fake news CNN. I had stopped watching you on Fox and your show because it was worthless. The only thing you did was spin, lie. And if anyone challenged you, you would get mad. You would curl up your lips. Good riddance. Couldn't happen to a better man. Heather, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Rob. Thank you. Great to hear you again. Missed you guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back on. What did you think about our opening on the two Chrises?
Well, I think it's as astute as ever. And I think in general, you know, one thing President Trump probably knows at this point is he really can only trust his family. I think there was so much betrayal around him. It was amazing how with this propaganda against him and all of the mania that the media whipped up, so, wow, it was a great time for opportunists of all stripes. People built huge journalism careers from bashing President Trump. And a lot of these politicians used the over-the-top mania against him to ride their own little waves. And it's gross, I think. I mean, not that the man was above criticism, but I know what you're talking about. You know, listen, I've said it before on your show. Victory has 1,000 fathers. Defeat is an orphan. Trump took a lot of risks, and he showed the country a fresh kind of leadership. And when it was going well, you know, a lot of people shared that vision. And then, you know, when the country led by a corrupt media refused to allow him to be good for the country, then people hopped on that negativity. And it's opportunistic. And I think that, the country has lost out as a result of all that. And, now we have a shell in the office of president, and we see all, the negative consequences of that. So, yeah, I don't have much use for Chris Christie's opportunism either. I think it's pretty gross.
And I think he's damaged himself also, because we talk about people who flip flop, and he has been one huge belly flopper, flipping from this side to that side. He comes out, he chastises the media with their coverage of President Trump, and then he comes around, and then he attacks President Trump. And this whole thing with COVID, with how he got COVID, he's a grown man.
Right.
If you wanted to wear your mask, wear your mask. But to come out and then with sour grapes and, I think he gave me COVID-19. It's his fault.
Is that what he said? Really?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he's saying now. But what's interesting, Heather and Andrew, is that in his book, he doesn't mention this, that he felt that Trump gave him COVID-19. He just says that he probably contracted it at that White House event at the Rose Garden when no one wore the mask.
So, meanwhile, the mask is no guarantee of not getting COVID. I understand that it's a tool, and I do believe that in certain situations, perhaps it can have some mitigating effect. But I think even scientists and people who are pro-mask would acknowledge, unless you have an airtight mask and an oxygen tank, it's not going to guarantee you, if you're around people for a real, some length of time. I mean, particularly because it's pretty much known now that this virus can be aerosolized in the air. So if you're breathing in communal air that has the virus, it's going to get around the mask. And I'm not saying the mask does absolutely nothing if you're having a very limited interaction with somebody. But, to me, what he's saying really is a stretch anyway. I mean, like that piece of cloth would have been a guaranteed protection,
right.
It's silly.
Well, and the other thing is that, as I started off saying, he's a grown man. And if he felt that I need the mask to protect me, then he should have worn the mask during that event in the Rose Garden. But also, if he felt that President Trump gave him the virus, why didn't he just spell it out in the book? Because he would have gotten more sales, as he said in the book. Oh, in the book, Chris Christie said that Trump gave him, but he didn't say that. He waited until the book was published, and when he realized that, I think he's only sold 2,000 copies, that the book wasn't selling as he had thought, as his publishers had told him, you come with the goods, as the others have done, and this will be a bestseller, and this will sell like hotcakes. When he realized that it wasn't happening, then he decided to go back and say, oh, well, by the way, I think Trump gave me the virus, because he was he was probably trying to elicit a reaction from President Trump. He wanted to challenge President Trump because he knows, hey, if I get him, he starts attacking me. I attack him, it'll drum up more sales for the book. Again, you can't trust this guy. Chris Christie can't be trusted.
And all the people who still get their jollies off of piling on President Trump, maybe he's hoping that a few of them will buy the book.
Absolutely. That's what he was looking for, that if I say this, if I engage him, if I step on his toes, if I say the wrong thing, he will come back at me, and then I could come back at him, and then I will start getting bookings on the different TV shows, radio shows to talk about it. I will keep it going, because Trump doesn't have the discipline, as he would say, to be quiet, and it'll just keep going while I drum up more book sales. But it was not to happen. So there he is, with his book and his 2,000 copies and all the extra books probably sitting in his garage, a failed author. It backfired.
Meanwhile, President Trump, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like he's showing a lot of discipline. He's been very, very quiet. And, you know, as far as I know, he weighs in on things once in a while, but yet another indicator that this caricaturization of him, this caricature of him, I should say, I think I made up a word, caricature characterization, that he was totally off the hook and, you know, a loose cannon and couldn't control himself, you know, it was not true. I mean, if that were true, he would be, you know, constantly opining on everything. And I think, you know, I wonder what President Trump is up to day to day. He seems to be involved somewhat in conservative causes, but he doesn't fly off the handle. And, you know, I think that I'll tell you, sometimes I think he must really just be shaking his head with, you know, a lot of what's going on and these, the outgrowth of these silly policies, you know, inflation, crime, you know, I think, you know, he probably is just sort of, you know, shaking his head and knowing that really the people, you know, got what they may have voted for, but it's a shame.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has been quiet lately. I know that he's going on a tour with Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly has billed it that he's going to ask him. I think the first tour was either this weekend or it's going to be this coming weekend. He's going to ask him questions that the liberal media never bothered to ask him, and you would think that they would. Mm-hmm. But they were so focused on attacks, let's attack him, let's bring him down, the same way Chris Christie was doing, the same way Chris Wallace had done, that they couldn't be objective and ask him, Mr. President, your policy on Mexicans coming across the border, when you had the conversation with the Mexican president and you told them to stop it and to keep them on that side, it worked. How did you have the foresight to know that it worked? Mr. President, North Korea, everyone said that there was going to be a war. There is no war. How did you have the foresight to know it? Mr. President, China, what is going on with China? How did you know how to contain them? And go on and on and on. Mr. President, unemployment, what are your thoughts about bringing the unemployment to the lowest it had been in 50 years? Mr. President, what are your thoughts on helping the Black community with jobs, revitalization, ending all those long terms for Blacks that are in jail, giving them a second chance? Those are the questions that they should have been asking. Now, slightly, I blame President Trump because he failed to toot his own horn. Because as we are oftentimes told, when you do something, don't expect to brag about it. You move on. Other people will talk about it. But that didn't happen. It did not. He didn't talk about it because he was raised the right way. You don't brag about things that you've done. Your works will speak for you. And they would have spoken for him, Heather and Andrew, had we had a curious media to put it out there and to showcase it. But they were so afraid to show that Trump got it right. He was working for the country. So those things that he had done, the positive things, the good things, Operation Warp Speed, it was because of him.
Lowest minority unemployment in the history of this country, you know, no new wars. How many hostages? 50 plus hostages he brought home.
Standing up for women, making certain that women were in key positions within his administration. The media should have been talking about that. He didn't have to talk about it. But when they didn't do it, maybe he should have said something. To this date, people are completely unaware of all the opportunities that he made.
Well, you know, it seemed like these things, they were there in the media, but that you had to really read between the lines. I mean, if maybe in the Wall Street Journal, and, you know, they do a good job actually focusing on the facts and you know, logic and you know, what are the actual concrete developments. But yeah, I mean, it was just a circus, and it was so stupid. It was so stupid. And you know, somebody said to me the other day, we were talking about, would Trump run again? And we were kind of, I was saying, I hope he will. But my friend said, you know what? And she was a supporter. She said, I hope he won't. And I said, really? And she said, because the left will not allow him to be good for the country. No matter what he does, they will tear it down. they simply won't allow it. They won't allow him to be good for the country. Anyway, just an interesting perspective. No,
that's really interesting that the left will not allow him to be good for the country. So they will allow Biden to be bad for the country, but for a man to be good, they won't allow it. And I've said so many times, I get it. I understand that people don't like Trump. If I were on their side, I probably wouldn't like him either. But you have to go beyond the man, him being bombastic and the things that he says. Look at and focus on what he is doing. And to me, that says a lot. Look at what he was doing. Look at what he had done. And it was all for the country. And if he were an agent for Russia, the things that he did, he wouldn't have done it. I mean, this man said, I'm going to forego. I don't want your money. I'm going to use my own money. All the while, the media was telling us he's broke. He doesn't have this. Well, if he's so broke, why are you guys still looking for his tax returns? Why do you still want his bank statements? Why do you now want to penalize him for what businessmen do all the time, following the laws, the tax laws that you Democrats created? Why now do you want to penalize him? Then you have the other businessmen looking like, oh, if they take him down, they might come after me. And then Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, who had said she was going to run for governor, when she realized that there wasn't an appetite for a governor, Letitia James, what does she do? Oh, I'm going to step out and I'm going to focus on my job. Okay, your job is more than trying to attack President Trump for a future run for governor that she may have. But that's what she wants to focus on. And it's really sad, Heather and Andrew, because when you have women like this, and we're going to talk about this in our next segment, when you have women in these high profile positions, who could do so much more. They always want to talk about, well, women wouldn't have, they wouldn't bring the country, take the country to war if a woman was in these positions. Well, you're in a position of power now. What about solving the crime problem? What about ending that as opposed to focusing on a person that you have a vendetta against, that you don't like? You want to make it seem as if though what he did was illegal when we know that everyone else has been doing it following those laws were created. They're doing it. Maybe they're exploiting them, but they created the laws. But then you're going to have someone like Hunter Biden and you'll look the other way. Shame on you, Letitia James.
And what about, like I always say, what about standing up for children in this country? Well, I would love to see women politicians make a serious effort to address the problems that undergird this gun violence. You know, Black Lives Matter, you know, I certainly agree with this, the idea, not the organization, but, you know, the idea is important. Look at these, you know, how the crime has exploded in these cities in the climate of defund the police and the cost to children, of American children. You know, I mean, I always cite, even the New York Times reported that in the summer of 2020, literally double the number of children died on the 4th of July in gunfire as the previous year. Double, you know, hundreds more children. And this was when, at the height of Black Lives Matter. It's like, I would love to hear, you know, and we did hear some female politicians, in Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms finally blew up and started yelling about this after a child died in Atlanta. And I thought at that point, maybe this is the beginning of something. Maybe there are some leaders, some women leaders who will finally get serious to cut through all the BS and the rhetoric and actually try to stand up for these kids. And I mean, you talk about women, I hear you, Rob, you know, are women really any better in terms of standing up for the most vulnerable? We should be, you know, we should be. But I think that we have a lot of groupthink in this country and a lot of brainwashing. And the Democrats, they're supposed to be about the people, you know, but not if the people are, you know, helpless children caught in the crossfire, not if they're you know, children being trafficked across the border. It's all political. It's politics. It's not real human rights. And it's just not right.
It's not right,
yeah, Heather,
at all.
You're absolutely right. And the sad thing is, if you look at the media and on social media, the women that actually get promoted are not the women that should be getting promoted. It's people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Ilhan Omar who are constantly talked up and praised on social media and throughout the media. Mm-hmm. And they just completely ignore women who are actually getting things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. And I had that feeling too a lot during the Me Too craze. I mean, look, I'm not against women sticking up for themselves. That's fine. But it's like, where's the concern for the women at the bottom of the economic ladder, the women who are being trafficked in massage parlors, which has exploded all across this country in the past decade and a half? It's the Chinese mafia behind it. It goes on. You have women and children, minors being trafficked across the border from Mexico and Central America and other places. And, you know, all you hear is, you know, about somebody got propositioned by, you know, by a producer. And I'm not saying that that's great or that that's right. But, you know, at least we women who have, you know, who are American citizens, who are, you know, have access to some resources and law on our side, we can make choices and we can try to advocate for ourselves. What about all the women who are coming from the developing world, who are being abused in horrible ways? You know, the women who actually do interventions and try to help them, we don't hear much about them. We don't hear these politicians trying to promote supporting rescue organizations for trafficked girls and women, or women who are being trafficked from the Far East into massage parlors, or, you know, actual rape victims. I mean, you know, it just seems to me like a lot of this has been about politics. And, you know, I hate to say it and sound cynical, but I think that, you know, the beautiful young actress in the hotel room with Harvey Weinstein makes for better copy. It sells more newspapers, you know, than the story of a Mexican girl being trafficked across the border and taken to 20 men a night in New York City, you know, or the nameless, you know, person who's suffering somewhere. It's a lot of this is about selling news, and, you know, it's kind of a chance for people to play and play pretend, you know, that they're doing something. But the real activists, I agree with you, Andrew, you know, and I've had the privilege of doing a little reporting and interviewing some of them. There is a little bit of coverage, but it's very hard. It's very challenging. I can tell you guys that, to place stories about women who are truly being hideously abused and children who are, you know, in terrible situations. It's not so easy to sell those stories. Most people don't want to read it. They want to read about, you know, the beautiful aide of Andrew Cuomo who was asked to play strip poker. You know, that's what sells in our media. So sorry to sound cynical, but, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of great points Heather brought up, and we're going to discuss a lot of them in our second half, but we got to take a quick break. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from our guest Heather Robinson on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from HealthyCell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you, as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so HealthyCell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew, and joining us tonight with our discussion is journalist Heather Robinson. And when we went to break, we were just talking about women as a whole and what's happening and what's not happening with women in the political spectrum and around the world, and definitely in the United States, and how the media portrays them. And Heather was giving her thoughts as to what she has seen and some of the things that she has reported on. So definitely going to bring Heather back to talk about that. But before we go there, I just want to just call out a couple of names of women whom Biden has chosen to head particular positions within his administration and outside the administration. Rachel Rollins, Attorney General for the great state of Massachusetts. She says she's a Black woman. I think her mom is white and her dad is Black. And she's a bit of a radical. She has been selected for this position to uphold the law and to make certain that the law is upheld and to protect the citizens of the great state of Massachusetts. Unfortunately, it seems that she's doing everything but that. Before she was given this position, she herself had said that she's going to turn a blind eye on a lot of the criminal activity that's taken place. Code, she's going to turn a blind eye on the crimes that are committed by Black and brown people. Let's just be honest. I'm going to call it out. You might not like it. You might feel uncomfortable, but we have to speak the truth when we're talking about these things. Because when we look around us right now, we see who's committing a majority of the crime. Yes, white people are committing crimes. Red people are committing crimes. Asian people are committing crimes. But the overall group that's committing crime, that we see on TV, that have brought the numbers up, are Black people. And as I said in one of our shows, it pains me to say that as a Black man. Now you might ask, well, what is paining you to say it? Not to admit that this is what's happening, but the fact that they're being treated as if though they can't obey the law, so we're going to give them a pass. That pains me because, in my opinion, that's a form of racism. You're saying that these Black people are so unintelligent that they can't obey the law, so we're going to give them a slide. We're going to cut them a break and let them commit the crime, and then we're going to look the other way. So other people, taxpaying citizens, have to be impacted by this? I don't think so. That's wrong. That is the wrong approach. So that's Rachel Rollins. The next person, Saul Omarova. Biden had nominated her to be over our banking system, a communist. Her whole idea on banking is that they should be broken apart, done away with, and we should go into another system. Now, mind you, she doesn't identify what the other system is, how it will replace, the current will replace this new system that she wants. She just wants banking broken up because she feels as though it's only designed to protect the rich. Oh, and by the way, it's also a racist institution. That's our girl, Saul. Thankfully, we missed that bullet. They rejected her for this position. Thankfully, Republicans got some kahunas along with a few Democrats and said, no way, we don't want you. We don't want your kind of thinking in our banking system, Saul. So go back to where you came from, go back to your universities, writing your little communist papers, because we don't want you. Next up, Jeezy Sohn. Oh, she's a real beauty. Her whole idea is to get rid of now, people like me, America Out Loud. Anything that's conservative, she wants to shut it down because she feels as if though that's disinformation. And we don't want to hear what they have to say. Meanwhile, CNN could come on the air with Chris Cuomo, do opposition research on women, attack women, try to belittle women who have made accusations that his brother sexually harassed them. Don Lemon could give information to Jesse Samalite, who claimed that he was a victim of a race attack when we all know now that it was a hoax. CNN could claim Russia collusion with President Trump. MSNBC can say the same thing when we all know now that that was too was a hoax. But our girl Gigi, she's okay with that. Oh, they can do say it all day long. We like that. We'll bring it on. They can also talk about inflation being good because we like that. Inflation is good. They can also talk about, oh, there's no one at the border. Don't look at that. And they can also say that crime, there's no crime. We're all living in peaceful bliss. The people that are shooting people's heads off, killing little kids, you don't see that. So they don't report on that. But as far as the right, oh, they report the real news. They report what Chris Cuomo did was wrong. They report what Don Lemon did was wrong. They report on the crime that has increased since the whole defund the police. They report on inflation is not good. They report on Hunter Biden's laptop, which is extremely scandalous. They report on the fact that Hunter Biden is doing business with China. They report on the fact that Hunter Biden was doing business with the Ukrainians. They report on the fact that Hunter Biden got almost $1 million from a mayor's wife in Russia. They report that Hunter Biden, a convicted felon, had a gun that he should not have had, which is considered white privilege. They report on the fact that Joe Biden today that you see is not the Joe Biden from 2013 or the Joe Biden from January 2020 or the Joe Biden that you just saw yesterday. They report on the fact that Joe Biden is possibly senile. But our girl Gigi, she doesn't like those reports. She doesn't like the truth. She wants to shut it down completely. And what will she replace it with? Oh, the sunny side of CNN, fake news, CNN and MSNBC. Oh, that's what she wants. Because that's more for her palate. She likes that. And if she likes it, everyone else has to like it. And then finally, who can forget the other pick by Joe Biden? Kamala Harris. Oh my gosh. Isn't she a doozy? She's doing marvelous things at the border. Oh my gosh, she knows how many people are coming through. She has been to the border so many times. And, you know, she really doesn't have to go. She can just sit at home and watch it on Zoom. And then when she goes to France, she can buy all this expensive cookware. Not to say that she's going to cook, but she just needs it because why? She's the vice resident. Oh, our girl Kamala, who has lost not one, but four top aides, including Simone Sanders. You remember Simone Sanders, because she was the one who Joe Biden had promised he was going to give her press secretary, White House press secretary. But gosh golly, he gave it to Jen Psaki. So she was relegated to Kamala Harris. Oh my gosh, that Kamala Harris, man, she is hitting a home run. No, she's not. That's a fabrication right there. That's what we thought would happen with Kamala, but it's not. She has failed miserably. So these are the women whom Joe Biden has selected for these different positions. Some have gotten them, some haven't. Some are in the waiting wings, waiting. But I forgot one other person who's critically important. What is her name? Rachel Levin. Rachel Levin, the highest ranking admiral of the health secretary within Joe Biden's administration. Now, we're told that Rachel Levin, at the tender age of 53, decided to have a sex change. And she went from Richard to Rachel. What? Yeah, she went from Richard to Rachel because Richard realized that at the age of 53, and looking back at his career, he was a complete abject failure as a doctor. They questioned everything that he had done. So he decided one day to wake up and become Rachel. Because when he started over as Rachel, Richard ceased to exist, and you can no longer use Richard as a benchmark to judge him on his career. So he is now Rachel. Rachel, the woman. Rachel, who has done nothing successful other than have a sex change and become from Richard to Rachel, and supposed to be a woman. Now, mind you, Joe Biden could have very easily gotten an accomplished woman for that position. But he was trying to be politically correct. So he gave Richard, who became Rachel, who's still an abject failure, this position. These are the women and men that Joe Biden has put out there and said, this is a representation of America. I don't think so. And once again, Andrew and Heather, I have so masterfully connected all the dots, and I present this to you. What do you say, Heather?
Well, you know, I'm here in Pennsylvania right now, and Rachel Richard was in these parts before he or she, they went national. You know, I don't recall her exact position here in the state, but she's one of ours. And I feel like transgenderism is something that I know absolutely very little about. And I also find it very hard to fathom that at the tender age of 53, as you said, Rob, he did this, but it's not my area of expertise. All I can say is that he, as a man, really was kind of cute in a nerdy way. You know, and he reminded me a little of some guys that I had dated in the past, you know, when I saw his picture. He had a pretty wife and he had a few kids. And, you know, it just sort of seemed extra strange to me that it wasn't like he outwardly was maladjusted or, you know, it's like here was a man who had a lovely family or so it would seem. And I don't know. That's all I can say. I can't really add much to it. Was just. I mean, is it really cynical to wonder if this person could have adopted that identity to because of career ambition? I mean, I don't know.
That's a good question. I've never, Heather, that is a really good question because I've thought about it, but I've never openly said it.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
That's
if
a
I
good
even
question.
Should. I'm asking. I don't know.
No, you're not asserting, but that's a fair question. And, you know, we as humans, we ask questions, but wow, that's interesting.
We're living in a time when, I mean, it's an unusual time. I mean, this could be a real ticket to the top, and it has been for this individual. So,
and that's what's sad, a ticket to the top as a woman when you have biological women who are accomplished, who could have gotten and served in that position. But when you institute identity politics, and you want to go through and check all the boxes, as it seems Joe Biden had done, this is what you end up with. And to me, it is a disgrace, and it is shameful.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I'd go quite that far. I don't know that this person's credentials are that bad. I mean, I believe you. I'm sure you've studied it, Rob, and you know, you are so thorough. I mean, if you say this person is unexceptional, then I don't doubt you, you know, and it may be that what he, she had to recommend themselves was this transgender identity. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a subject that those of us who are fortunate to be, you know, comfortable with ourselves, you know, don't really know much about. And it's tempting to, you know, speculate, but I, you know, it's hard for me to imagine that anybody would do that, would change genders just, you know, if, unless there were some, I'm sure, you know, there's something pretty profoundly off internally, you know? So I don't like to judge, but I agree with you that it the whole thing just seems a little hard to fathom, you know, given the stage of life and all of that. I don't know what to say beyond that.
So what about the other women, Gigi and Saul and Rachel Rollins, or just, and not just them, mm-hmm. just singling them out, but as a whole, yeah. the women, and including Kamala Harris, that Joe Biden mm-hmm. has put in these positions.
Yeah, they're awful. They're awful. I mean, they're radical. They are knee-jerk, one, you know, sided extremists. I think that this woman, Rachel, it was Gigi you were talking about with such brilliance, Rob. I mean, what you said, you laid it out. It's very galling. That this individual, these people who are, they're so dismissive of Fox News. Meanwhile, their favorite sources have presided over so much propaganda, so much misinformation, and they're seem to be, it's a projection, really, I think. You know, they're consuming news that's very one-sided, whips them up, and they project this onto conservatives. And I think there's a lot of projection from the left in this country, projections of hate. Most conservatives, listen, I'm not saying every conservative, I'm not saying there's nobody out there who's a fringe person who has, you know, but most conservatives I know don't walk around in a state of anger and hate toward anyone, you know, but yet we hear all day long that, you know, that the right is full of hate. And, you know, we hear the same thing about the media, that Fox News is propaganda. Meanwhile, Fox News generally, yes, it's conservative. Yes, it's, you know, it's particularly the commentators. They're going to give you the conservative. They're going to, you know, stand up their case with facts and logic that support the conservative side, but they do give a platform to liberals. They do show both sides on some of these shows. And anybody who watches Fox has seen that. And even if they didn't, you know, I got news for these people, you know, one view domination, total, you know, monolithic coverage from one point of view is totalitarianism. It's the most basic truth that you need multiple views, even if it is propaganda. Even theoretically, we were to grant them their, you know, narrow and I think very misinformed view. I mean, even if it were true, so what? I mean, if you have one conservative propaganda network, well, in a free country, you know, you need to have different points of view, and it's as simple as that. And anybody who doesn't understand that, doesn't have the sophistication to understand that, has no business in leadership of a communications, you know, agency.
Right. Absolutely. And I've always said that Fox, and we've went backwards and forward on this when they had Donna Brazile and Juan Williams on their show, mm-hmm. who he would just drive me nuts. Now, I will say this, they do have on the show this former representative from Tennessee. What is his name? Who I think is really good. He's a moderate. Mm-hmm. I almost called his name. He's really good. And so he's there. And I think that what he brings to the table is rather refreshing. But just going back to the topic about these women that mm-hmm. are there, whom Biden has put up and upheld, like supported, when in my opinion, there are so many others who are qualified that he could have used, but or selected, and he didn't. It's just like, what is he not thinking? We all know that he picked Kamala because he was forced to pick her. And as I said in one of our other shows, when the both of them attended Senator Bob Dole's funeral, you could tell that it was a bit frosty.
Oh,
it was extremely frosty. They wouldn't talk to each other. They didn't look at each other. And he and his wife switched places so that he wouldn't have to be near Kamala. So, I mean, it's I don't know what's going on inside of the White House. I don't know what's going on with him and his judgment, but definitely and clearly there are some issues that are there. Now, before we wrap up the show, Heather, I just want to go back to what you were saying earlier in the bottom half of our show, the first half of the show, rather. And you were talking about the stories that you had done about women and some of the abuse that they encounter, making reference to the Cuomo brothers and the children. If you would like to just like talk a little bit about that, the last couple of seconds that we have on the show.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to sound dismissive of the, you know, reporting that's been done in recent years, of whether it's about producers in Hollywood or politicians like the Cuomos. I just think that there's a lot of kind of focus on the elites and the women who they have insulted and or harassed. And, you know, that's fine. But you know, to focus on that and expose it. Personally, I think, though, that if we're really, if this is really about protecting women and children, the vulnerable in this society, we would be seeing more stories and more investigation and more effort to really come together and help women on the bottom rungs of society's economic ladder, because those are the women who, you know, can't hire a flashy attorney and get on national television and make their case. I mean, these are women being held against their will or being brainwashed. And, you know, whether you're talking about domestic violence, you're talking about women in the massage parlors across this country, many of whom have been trafficked from China or Indonesia. And I've done some reporting and interviewed some women who escaped from that situation. And I can tell you that they need every bit of help and support they can get. There's a wonderful woman in Queens. Her name's Chandra Wo-Woruntu. She's you can find her on Twitter, and she runs a home to help these women. Mentari is her organization, Mentari USA. And there's one called GEMS in New York run by Rachel Lloyd. And she helps a lot of girls who are in foster care, American girls in this country. It's a big problem. They get trafficked out of foster families a lot of times by men, by unscrupulous older men who, you know, essentially prostitute these little girls, you know. And this is, there are thousands of girls in America in this situation. And there are sometimes they're as young as 12, 13 years old. So I would like to see more focus on these very real and widespread problems, you know. And I think as far as, you know, Chris Cuomo, one thing I would add, and his brother, I think that the more serious, I mean, I think that it was lousy what they did with women, but I actually think, you know, if Andrew Cuomo goes down for that, he's lucky, because I think the bigger, more serious scandal, because it was a matter of life and death, was the nursing homes. You're talking about thousands of lives.
Absolutely, Heather.
I'm not saying he, you know, was single-handedly and only he, you know, caused their deaths, but I mean, it was a terrible decision. You know, there were resources that President Trump and the federal government sent that were glaringly unused. I feel like to really be asking questions and examining that record is the job of the media. And really, it's been kind of dropped in favor of this stuff about women. And actually, my take on it is that I don't know how much of that is sincere concern for women. I think a lot of it is that sells papers, and that also gets the Cuomos out. And it's a lot easier rap to go down for than, you know, life and death and thousands of old people dying horrible deaths in nursing homes, which isn't as sexy to read about. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, well said, Heather. One thing I'd like to talk about real quick, as I was just reading from Bloomberg News, is Best Buy, Target, and several other corporations are asking for Congress to step up and stop this mass theft that we are seeing all across the country take place. We've even seen in San Francisco, I believe it was 70 thieves altogether went to that shopping mall and robbed a bunch of stuff. It's obviously escalating, but my thing is, where were these companies during the summer of 2020 when Black Lives Matter was looting and rioting all across the country? A lot of them pandered to the Black Lives Matter slogan and did nothing about it. And here we have them wanting Congress to step up. It almost seems like a situation of they're getting what they asked for.
You're right. That is a great question, Andrew. Where were they? Now they want them to come in and do something, but where were you when it counted? But not only that, what we have to think about is that these communities will suffer the most, because now these companies will be able to say, no, we're not going into your communities, because when we were there, you tore things up, you burned things down. Decades from now, the younger people will wonder, well, why can't we have a Walmart in our community? Why can't we have a Target? Why can't we have a Home Depot? That's racism. No, look at your history. Look at what your family did years ago when they were there, burning things down. And for what? Because someone told them that Black Lives Matter, and this is a way we need to show it, by burning down the community. Shame on you. And this is what happens, because when you forget your past, unfortunately, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Heather Robinson, for joining us. You can check her out at the New York Post, so be sure to keep an eye out for all of her articles. We want to tell you guys about a great Christmas gift for yourself or perhaps a loved one. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. And the best part is you can go to healthycell.com and save 20% off your first order with the code OUTLOUD. Rob and I have been taking Healthy Cell, and we highly recommend you guys check it out and try it. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who celebrated its fifth anniversary this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.